off a Christian life. Better go talking at them or less. At least some of us are married, and some are not. Okay, so, well, let me talk about our home library. We have a library at home. And in our library, we have many books on marriage. And of course, pastorally counsels people, so we have a lot of books on marriage. I want to show you this one, which I find this title is very interesting. It's a book on marriage. When sinners say, I do it. Right? So it is something that's very real. When two people, a couple, they go up to the altar, actually, they too are sinners saying that. Right? So then the first thing we want to remember as we go into our message today. Right, in the first chapter of this book that I showed you, the author Dave Harvey said that marriage is not a romance novel. Marriage is the union of two people who arrive, toting the luggage of life. And the luggage always contains sin. Often it gets open right there on the honeymoon. Sometimes it waits for the week after. But the suitcases are always there, sometimes stripping their owners, sometimes popping open unexpectedly and disgorging forgotten contents. Sinners, right? So it is true that marriage is a union of two depraved sinners. To start with the first point. So when two depraved sinners enter into marriage, they bring into their relationship all their sinful tendencies and inclinations. Because of this, the marriage relationship is not an easy one. There are many faults and follies to be discovered in one another as the days go by, as the weeks go by. But before marriage, sometimes these weaknesses, or what you call these idiosyncrasies, are not so evident. Right? Probably because we're blind to them. Probably we accepted them because we're very much in love. But after marriage, they become very prominent. We see them very clearly. So one lady who married a preacher, maybe this is my question, she noticed an unusual pattern when her husband was in ministry. He would be so preoccupied in his ministry that he forgot to eat. Right? So it did not occur to him that his wife might be hungry. So when they were potting, he did not mind it so much. Why? So much enough. Right? So she wanted so much to be with him, she enjoyed so much being with him, so she ignored her hunger pattern. But, so even after marriage, meals was still no priority for the husband. Ministry came first, but meals were important. So she began to grow resentful after marriage. Right? So, what were her thoughts? Oh, he's not thinking of me. The ministry comes first for him. So these resentful thoughts began to grow into angry reactions and then ugly feelings. Right? Are these feelings familiar to those people who are married? Right? They begin to see the fault bigger, very much bigger than before they were married. Right? So she asks these questions. What happened to all my love for my husband? Has my husband changed for the worse after marriage? After some thought, she answered, no, he's still the same person, just not changed. Before he was preoccupied with his ministry, not hungry, now he's still the same, he's still preoccupied with and not hungry. But it's just that now he doesn't think of me like this, now I notice it, he doesn't think of me. So he's behaving the same way, not changed. And sometimes you hear a person saying, I think after marriage he has changed, that's why things have all gone wrong. So her heart has now become negative towards her husband. Okay? And her love for him probably grown a little bit older than before it's very warm. But because sin is now present in her heart. For you sinners, right? Sinners saved by grace. So what happens when sin is present in our heart? The warm affection that was then will dissipate, will disappear. Right? And love cannot survive in the heart that harbors sin. When you think about ourselves, it's true. When you're angry, you ask, you know, ask, hey, do you love the person? I'm not so sure, you know, right? Before, oh, I love you, everything is very good and nice, very rosy. But after marriage, it's different. Okay? So there are some, these are some thoughts I want us to bear in mind as we talk about our topic, politics or Christian life. Well, we must understand our duties as wives and know of what qualities we should possess. Right? In this way, by knowing the qualities we should possess, then the Lord can use us to be a blessing to our families and to others in our lives. Right? So we want to know. Then, so we'll turn to God's word. We have different references. But some of these qualities you'll find in the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 is very long. We are not going to do that. But we'll just look at maybe one quality there. Right? And then the other thing is that we cannot look at every single character. Much as we'd like to, we cannot do a very comprehensive study. So what we will do is we'll just look at a few. Four. Right? So it's already quite a long message, so we will stick to four. First of all, we must have love. Right? Quality of love. Love for God. Okay? Love for God is the most important and essential quality that every Christian wife must possess. Because if we don't love God, we will not be able to cultivate any of these qualities that we're going to talk about. And when we love God and when we have a right relationship with Him, we will want to please Him. We will want to, when we're conscious of His love, we're conscious of God's grace upon our lives, we want to love Him in return. And when we say we want to love God, it means by obeying Him. Love equals obedience. We cannot say we love God and not do what He says. That's what we always read in the Bible. Okay, the next thing is right. So the motive behind the things we do will be as unto the Lord. Love. Right? So whatever we do will be as unto the Lord. Later we'll look at this verse again. Ephesians 5:22, we look at it now, but later we will look at it. Why submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord? The Lord is the one. Yes, we submit as unto the Lord. I will elaborate later. Another verse, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Right? Do it for men's sake, but because we love the Lord, we do it and we please Him. That's the first point. Now, second love is love for our husbands. Right? This is where we're going to have quite a bit of discussion. Because God's will for the wife is to love her husband. In Titus chapter 2, right? In verses 4 to 5. The older women were exhorted to teach the young women to be sober. And we are going to concentrate on this phrase, to love your husbands. Right? To love your husbands. Now, how will we answer? We are supposed to love our husbands. We are supposed to be taught to love our husbands. Now, how will you answer if one day we are asked, you know, our husbands will ask us this question, do you love me? You know, there's a Broadway musical called Fiddler on the Roof. The main character is called David. The wife is called Bobby. Right? So the wife asked that Tevi asked the wife, after 25 years of marriage, he asked her, do you love me? What was the response after 25 years? Well, she answered, for 25 years I've lived with him. I've fought with him. I've stuck with him. 25 years. I've washed his clothes, I've cleaned his house, I've given him children, I've milked his cows. If that's not love, what is? She answered. Alright? I've done all these things for you, seemingly very sacrificially, very dutifully as a wife, very faithfully. If this is not love, then what is? What do you think about this? The love was born out of the duty. And the duties as a wife. To her, as a wife. Now, the word used by Paul in Titus, love, it appears only once in the New Testament. It's the word philanthropos. Normally, we think of the word love as a helper. The husband in Ephesians 5 is told to love like this unconditional love. Here is philanthropos, wife. Love the husband is the word philanthropos. Okay? Now the root word is Greek student? Phileo, right? Phileo, alright? Now which means love between friends. We talk about phileo, okay? Now this word is used here, it means the special affection of a woman for her husband, embracing him as a calling from God. And used many ones. Okay? That is, this is your calling from God. Love with a special affection. We are going to look at this word affection. I've been saying quite a number of times in our message. Okay? Now, this love is a tender, affectionate love for a friend. Right? Love for men, love for a friend. Okay? Men, our fellow men. So, you notice, as I said just now, Paul did not use the word agape. When he exalted husband, he used the word agape when he exalted the husband of the wife. But for this word, for the wife, love is an affectionate and tender love. See, it's a different kind of love. Okay? In 5:25, Ephesians, sorry, husbands love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to the sacrificial. Why different commands of love and husband and wife? In the English, it just says love, love. Okay? But why these different commands? One is, that's what I think. Perhaps men are weaker in showing sacrificial love. You see the way that Moby had no problems showing sacrificial love out to me. I'm willing to wake up at 5 a.m., milk the house, clean the house, take care of the children. 5 a.m., I can sleep at 12 midnight. To me, that's why. I don't think that's what I do, it's sacrificial. You see? But women are probably weaker in showing tender and affectionate love. Sometimes we are not so tender, especially when you've been married for quite a while. There's a lot of difficulties in the marriage. A lot of things find hard to accept, so it's kind of hard. Okay? So, you know, women who continue to serve their husbands faithfully. They continue to wash their clothes, cook their meals, clean their house, look after their children, even after all their tender feelings for their husband have disappeared. No more tender feelings, yet they can sleep. And they can care for their house, care for their husband. They can wait. Okay? Tender feelings are not there anymore. Probably that's why this is the solution for us to love our husbands with a tender and affection. God's command to love our husbands is far more than doing household chores or fulfilling our wifely duties. Right? The love must be tender, affectionate. The love must be characterized by joy and delight. And we should prefer our husband's company above all others. Right? Sometimes after a few years of marriage, you see the wife going out often. Not that she's ungrateful, but maybe I prefer the company of my friends to stay at home. So boring. So always for us. They don't see your face from the chat. I always hear taxi drivers telling us when you ask them, I'm already so old, you're still working. Yeah, if I stay at home, I fight with my wife and my father. I might go get some money. I think it's fine. So we should find pleasure in serving them because God's intention for us is that our marriage be a happy and fulfilling one. And not one that has become burdensome. Okay? So notice that in Titus, or the verse that we read just now, the older woman that is offered to teach the young woman how to love her husbands. Teach. Right? How to love. Why teach? We must be taught to love our husbands. So why do you think about them? Why do you think about the taught? Because love, such tender and affectionate love, may not come naturally to the wife. Okay, so I say, it's hard sometimes to love passionately or tenderly after some days. Sometimes it does not happen automatically in marriage when you start with problems. Okay? And remember, we have Adam's sinful nature. Okay, so because of our sinful nature, we have this problem sometimes to love our husband in a tender or affectionate way. So what can we do? Right, what can we do when we find that our love is successful, we're not as strong as before, and then what do we do? Okay, some of the things that we can do for ourselves. First, we guard our heart. Keep our heart with all diligence in Proverbs 1:23. Keep our heart with all diligence, for all of it are the issues. Okay, we do not allow any unnerving feelings to arise in our heart. Any sinful risings in the heart, we curb them. When sin is present, as I said just now, all tender, loving feelings disappear. Right? So sometimes we get very worked up and we get so angry, we get bitter, and all these things, selfishness, are all opposed to love. We cannot love. Okay? So we watch out for sin and love. That love is we start loving. Unloving beings, that's the start of sin. We check our heart. We examine our heart. And before these things overwhelm us, so we cannot allow, because why? We say we want to obey God, we want to obey His word, we must do that. We have to put ourselves down. When these things come up, because if we do not, we continue to indulge them, then we will find, after some time, the Lord will go away. We sometimes just relate to one another, it's very superficial, like God. Yeah, you must know your wife, but this whole thing is not. Later, I'll talk a little bit more on that. The other thing that we need to do is to cultivate tender thoughts. It doesn't come naturally to us sometimes, right? So we may face situations where, you know, you have a screen and then you're tempted to think very harsh or critical thoughts. Right? We tend to focus on what our husbands are doing wrong rather than what they're doing. I'm sure there's some things we can correct. But because we start to be very negative, we start to focus on what we're doing wrong. Okay? So we yield to these temptations the moment in our heart goes. So to cultivate a tender and affectionate love, choose to focus on the good qualities. Be conscious, choose to focus on good qualities that we may fail to see because we are blinded by negative spirits. When we have a negative spirit, it's a very sad thing for us to have because we can't see. But we are blinded and we really can't see any good in the person. We only can see that. This is very simple. So we think, in Philippians 4:8, we are started to think kind thoughts, good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, okay. Yeah, also called exhorts us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue in there be any grace, think of these things. So things that we know are critical, it's going to make us feel so negative towards us, keep them away. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to keep my thoughts pure and right. Because ultimately, no one knows what I'm thinking. The Lord knows. The Lord knows whether my thoughts are pure. The Lord knows whether my thoughts are going downward. He knows when you sin, or am I making an effort to say, I want to honor God. Okay, I'm going to do this way and think the good thoughts. Okay. So watch out for the spirit, like the verse we look at is 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Okay, so it's very important to let love prevail in heart. He will cover, you know, those things we will overlook the sins when there is love in. But when there's no love, even what right the person does or what good the person does, we will say it better. So watch out for the negative spirit. Okay? Now yeah, the next point, first of all, we said watch our thoughts, watch our heart. Next thing is to cherish our husbands. Cherish our husbands. Now, it is not difficult to cherish our husbands at the beginning of the marriage. But with the arrival of children sometimes, or responsibilities at home, or responsibilities at work, then there are many demands on us, and these things take precedence over our relationship with the one closest to us. So, there's a little time previously we used to have time for intimate talk, and expressions of affection. One wife was so busy raising her daughters that she did not notice that the 9-year-old relationship with her husband has become like a valuable business partnership. Like business partners. No matter so busy, right? So God's word makes it very clear that after our relationship with God, our next priority is to be with God, not children, or others. Okay? And because God has created the woman to be a husband's servant. Genesis 2:18. Right? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help it. God is very nice. God knows that the man needs the woman. The man, the woman confidence and the man needs the God knows. So, therefore, our husbands, not our children, our others, must act first in our hearts. Okay? So one of the best things we can do for our children is to cherish our blessings. Why do I say that? The children feel secure in a relationship of both mom and dad, love, respect, and cherish. And see our behavior, right? And it also presents a biblical model for them and their future partners. They want to implement our relationship. This is a relationship that's really good. You see that my mom and dad always feel peace and be together, they're happy together. They also want it. They also want to have this relationship with the person. Okay, it's very good, beautiful, beautiful model. Next point, love for his family. First, love for God, love for his family. Right? We have to resolve from the very start to love his family and relate well with them. Why do I say that? I've seen people who have this problem. If they do not resolve to love the husband's family from the very start, in our ministry, it's very similar to that. Okay? So bear in mind that the family we're married into may be very different from our own. Okay? Sometimes we may be expected to do things that are not normally done in our own family. For instance, we may be not a good concern about maintaining family ties. Okay? And then, but our spouse family is a close thing in fact. Every now and then got celebration. Our birthday, what our anniversaries, all must get and all this must get. Oh, my family doesn't even celebrate our Chinese New Year reunion. I'm telling you the truth, this is the case. We don't even have Chinese New Year reunion. And you not telling me, I'm so about this, for 1 year, how many years? Good presents, good gifts, what is this, my kind of borrowed time, right? So, we have to adapt ourselves. So, we strive to be visible with our husband's family, strive to love them, adapt to them, right? Because when the wife has a loving and caring attitude towards her in-laws, it makes it easier for the husband. The son is much easier. Right? And then it also advances his relationship with his family. Moreover, it also is a good witness, especially if his family are not Christians. And it is simple. This Christian mind is so good. Lost us, no more to love us. This is unfortunately the witness of the Lord. Who knows when it cannot be used? We want a couple to bring a family to this speaking of more. Where are we conscious of his family? We want to relate lovingly to his family as well. Okay? Next point, patience. So first point is love, second is patience. These are all three sub points. We must settle this issue in our heart that we have married a sinner. So did he. Don't just say, I have married a sinner, to stop. So did he. You're not married a sinner? As wicked as he? As sinful as he? Yes. But oftentimes we look at his faults. You have so many faults, I have you. Your faults are so glaring, anyone can see. I'm very few. My case is bigger than one. Can't see. How hypocritical are we? So, when we see our spouse as sinners like ourselves, it helps us to be patient. You see? I'm a sinner. Yeah? So, you also have to accept me just as I will accept you. I believe with you. Or don't say I believe with you, not so myself. I live with you. You also live with me. Don't say I do one like for okay, so also it's good when we are learning to be patient, learn these 3 A's, adapt, adjust, worry. Okay, these 3 precious words are very good because we are going to have to live with one another. Sorry, not have to live, sorry. We are going to live with one another, so learn. Okay, how to adapt. You know, both our weaknesses, you know. Then suddenly you find that, I didn't know that you do these things before bedtime. I can tell you about what my husband does. This is something that I can say. Because he's always afraid of cold. He's afraid of cold, I'm afraid of hot. So before bedtime, what we do? But anyway, that's new. So we accept, we adapt, we open it. Okay, we don't say, that makes you comfortable. That makes you comfortable. So we accept. Okay, sometimes we only want to but as you get older, you're paying that way. So what's that? Three home, you must be. Accept. Okay? So these are the things that we learn how to accept. You know, like, you sleep there, I'm just on the couch upset. I can't stand the smell of your home. I can't stand it. See, all these things can. So, we learn. Right? You're going to see something. So before watch it, you don't know that before watch it on. You see, you always take on. You know, you must be on the road. But after, so don't be too shocked. We find certain things, and then we love you yet, except that. Because now to me, it's good. To me, it's like, oh, fine. My problem, it's fine. You know? So one Christian writer said quite happily that our spouse given by God is tailor-made for us. I told you tailor-made, it's true, tailor-made for us. In the marriage, God works for our spouses, faults, and follies to mold our lives and vice versa. But God gives us that one partner for the Sabbath. Even though after marriage we think this is the wrong one. So many faults and follies, I cannot stand, right? But actually, it's the right one. Then, okay? This person has this particular thought and following, just nice. Say if you don't stand this, this one is the one that he gets. Then, you learn how to accept, learn how to love him, thank him. And life is very good. Marriage life is very good. Okay? This writer wrote, this same writer, God is using our marriage to help us grow in godliness. In fact, our husband's particular sins, unique weaknesses, and even the idiosyncrasies are tailor-made for us. God is so wise. So wise that He chose this particular person with all the things that to us, not me, but God chooses and believe in us. Right? So the couple will become more Christ-like by having to deal with one another's faults. Right? So as we walk along, we live along, we will be able to also grow in Christ-likeness. And which is the blessing. So we see marriage as a blessing. Although I tell you these so-called negative things, but marriage is a blessing. When you look at it, God's will. What God has done, God has ordained us is His best choice. Right? To mold our lives, transform our lives, make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be part of how marriage works for us. Not the other way, very good, right? We feel we don't get a lot of peace over that time. It shouldn't be. Okay? So, realizing this truth will help us to relate patiently. So, instead of complaining, I'm going to use this word that I have learned the last two weeks, rest content. We rest content in God's will, because this is God's will, this is God's best choice for me. So, therefore, right, I must not complain. Not say I regret, I want to quit. Marriage life is too difficult for me. We will rest content, and contentment always rests in doing God's will. When we know something is God's will, no matter what, how difficult it is, we will be set by the learning of the past 2 days. Okay. So, the other thing about being patient, the other thing about resting content in God's will, we should not be this compared. Tendency wise compared. Some years ago, one Christian couple came to our home for dinner, and the wife followed into the kitchen and said, hey, you know, I'm going to wash. Pastor told me, I'm just asking me to wash the plates. Pastor told me to wash the plates, you see that? And she was very surprised. And she then went outside straight away, spontaneously to her husband. Hey, do you know Pastor Lee washes the plates? Then, do you know that? The husband looked at her and said, Can you wait for me to wash the plates till the morning? Can you leave the plates in the sink till the morning? Well, I think we had started a problem. So, see, sometimes expectations. What is expectation? And then compare inside. You see, he does it. How come you don't do it? How come this person does it? How come you don't do it? And then we compare. Then we will be disappointed. Because we see other people doing. the things that I know might be done at him. So we want this. This is the way you get this money. Okay? And we should never do that. If that's the way it is, he's going to give it to the woman, then we have to learn how to be patient. Sometimes you cannot stand right. Many of us, also when you makan already, must go and wash it straight away. Thankfully, my family, my husband, and me, we can both leave. Can both wash, but also can leave. If too tired, can leave. If both want to feel like I should wash, if not leave. Then you say, what about all exactly? Never mind, it's okay, one class, leave. See, some people cannot. So it's now, you know, when I eat, I say, wash, I'm still, I'm still obviously. And so you also must do it. Manage your expectations. This is my expectation. This is not this expectation. So when you manage it, it also helps us to be patient. Not everyone works the same way we do. Not everyone will want to do it the same way we do. Sometimes our spouse may have a need of doing things. They don't like to be reminded, they don't like to be pushed. And the more we push them, the more they miss. So we learn to be patient. Okay. Alright, submission. Next point is for me. Second time, patience. Third, submission. Submission, 3 points. Okay. As unto the Lord. Submission as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, wives submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now she submits because, not because of anything, not because when they are married and the pastor are there, she submits. No. She submits because of the desire to be husband. She accepts her husband's role as head of the family, as this is ordained by the Lord. Okay? Because it's God's will for her to do so, she will submit willingly and joyfully. So there's joy in submission. Because it's unto the Lord. Then she submits in everything. We see this in verses 23 to 24 of the same chapter. You can just look at 24. Therefore, as the church subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So first is as unto the Lord, second is in everything. So we see in everything. What does that mean? But in the same way that the church acknowledges Jesus Christ as the head, is able to run the church, the submits to the wife, submits to husband's leadership and authority in everything. This means everything that is not against God's will. As long as his decision does not go against God's will, she must obey. No matter how she feels and whether she likes it or not. Okay? A very technical story. My husband will always advise me. When you go to the market, try not to wear slippers. It's better to wear your walking shoes because not very wise advice. I agree, it's very good, but very hot. You know what I mean? Very hot, you wear the stretches. But anyway, I said, okay. After a few times I wear my slippers, one day I almost slipped. He says it's very true and very wise. So nowadays, even though very hot, I will wear my track shoes and it makes me very happy. Because it's just a small thing. I say it's just a small thing and it's doing it for my good. And why shouldn't I obey? It's just really small. And it really works for my good. I will not have to feel falling down and things like that. Sometimes our husbands are quite wise in some things and can only be wise to listen to them. It's not against God's will. In reverence, we see that in 33b, and the wife see that she reverenced her husband. Now, reverence here means respect and honor. She should not try to usurp his authority given by the Lord, disparage or defile him in any way. No disparaging of him, whether in public or private, or speak anything against him to discredit his reputation. She reverences her husband. When she speaks well of him to others, when you are with others, you won't speak well. Never a word to discredit him ever. In this way, others will also have a good impression of him. Right? And more of wives will go into Facebook and start with him. Those stories about their husbands and their in-laws, they become a big, big issue. We shouldn't do things like that. Okay? Or even to talk about our husbands to any Muslim. Okay, so that's one thing. So we reverence our husband. When the children see that we reverence our husband, they also learn the next time they reverence their parents. My mom does it, I also do. Okay? Support. A loving wife provides support to her husband through her diligence and ready help. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 provides loving support to her husband. She in many ways, but we don't have time. We just look at verse 23. It tells us that her husband is known in the gates when he seated among the elders of the land. So her husband is well known, good reputation, sits at the gates. Her diligence allows her husband, sets her husband free to take his place among the elders that sit in the house. It's an important position to have here. She contributes to his being respected by others and enables him to concentrate fully on his family duties without any worries as to how someone takes care of the home. So, you know, well, that husband doesn't have to worry, he concentrate, set his mind on the things that he's, in this case, public duties free to. So that's the last part, that's the topic, complimenting the husband. His full carriage and appearance indicates to others that he has a caring, loving, and supportive wife. If people look at our husbands, that would be good. If you can look at many interests, alright, and has a good carriage, people can tell him he has a good, loving, and supportive wife. Okay? So, wives can provide support also by offering him comfort and encouragement. Sometimes they need a listening ear. And we are the more sensitive party as women. We are more sensitive to people. Sometimes we can understand people better, we can read people better. So we can give feedback. People can provide useful feedback and counsel. So we are his ears and eyes. Not to complain to him, his ears and eyes, not to complain, not to spy on others and tell him how, but to provide. That will help you, especially in the ministry. Okay. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about ministry, being supportive. The quality of being supportive is even more important for couples serving the Lord together in the ministry. Yes, we may not share our husband's passion in his sports, sometimes hobby, music, but we must share his passion for the ministry. The wife must see this ministry as first. Because he cannot serve alone. He needs his wife for his son. To be his confidant, to be his friend, to be his bread partner and co-laborer for him. Many years ago, when I was still working for my country, asking me to talk to one of our lady members, she was very sad. The only when she was sick, she would come back to her. And she had a very low threshold. What happens when the pastor went there? I was not there. After that incident, so he think about quitting her job and stay by his side. So he went. And this lady had a very low threshold. The moment she saw the pastor's collapse. And thankfully, you know, at the same time, we had two girls, Sunday school day neighbors. So pastor quickly called the two girls, come and support this auntie. Pastor cannot support her, right? Can you support this auntie, two girls? The two Sunday school girls can support that auntie who collapsed, you know, because cannot get the pain or what. So, later, I'm going to talk to the doctor. So, these are some of the things that make me think about the mind better in the children and with the husbands and the society. Those who serve must see the ministry as a joy and privilege. If not, then it becomes a burden to her, to the husband. Okay? And if the wife is not in the husband ministry, she will not help to support him at all. Instead of being a helper, she becomes dependent. And she will be controlled. Okay? Because she should be by his side, but she's not. Okay? And if not by his side, oftentimes we hear the wife complaining, where are you? Why are you here? Why are you out? Because she's not in the ministry, right? He has to be busy, right? Those who serve us, another way wives can provide support is to be present at the church meetings, especially as a husband, as a leadership role in the church. Okay? Right? Sometimes I ask some people, say, oh, no, my wife just sat there. Say, why not? She should be there. Why not? This is an important meeting. Why is she not here? Yeah. So, when we are absent without a good reason, what happens? Our husband, our poor husband, will give a reason, a a big excuse for us, right? Why is she not here? She should be here. Ask that reason. Find some reason to be one, right? So we, our presence is important. Members look up to us to be the example. So, right, especially when each of us will live in glass houses. Go look at our families. So make sure as best as you can, we are there. As best as we can, we are there to support our husbands and we got these problems together. Okay. Conclusion. I have 5 minutes now. Is that okay? So you may conclude after what I've said. Mrs. Helen must be a great one. We all get about mentioned qualities. Be honest, I struggle. I struggle too, right? Because of my sinful, very mature. But none of us will find it easy to be a woman. It's not easy. So, well, then we ask, is it possible to cultivate the qualities that we just mentioned? Actually, there are many more qualities, but we have no time here. Qualities like faith, not having faith, humility, qualities like forgiving spirits, physical strength, all this we must have. But as I said, we don't have time, we just deal with this view. So, is it possible to cultivate these qualities? Seems like very hard, right? So, like, you have to put yourself down, all these things. Yes, that is possible because we have a great God. We have a great God, and because we are sinners saved by grace, because we have been saved by grace, we can go on with God's hope. Okay? We can be good Christians wise because of the sufficiency of God's grace. Because why? Is it God's will that we be good Christian wise? Yes. So, if it's God's will, will He help us? If I look to Him, He will help us. Right? If I'm willing to yield to Him, will He help me? Yes. Okay? So, if we desire to honor God by loving our husbands, submitting to the authority, supporting them, God will honor our parents and will help us to be the kind of wife that will honor Him. Right? We will be a blessing to those around us. So be very mindful, even as I say this, that we look at our husbands, we also need to be mindful that we are conscious of our own situation, very conscious. A deceitful heart, blindness to our own faults, all these things, let us also be mindful of our own. Right? And also, even as we want to do that just right, you know, we must check our own devotional, our walk with the Lord. Because sometimes when we allow sinful risings and we don't check them, we will start actually backsliding. We start to stray from the Lord. And we find it hard to hear. We find it hard to be angry, you know, things like that. So check our own devotional life. Because devotional life is something that no one can see. Whether you read the Bible or not, so we want to be right with God, be upright in God's eyes. So check our own lives. So remember what we've learned today. God must be first in our lives. The next priority is our husband. Keep our heart with all religions. Cultivate better thoughts. Cherish our husband. Treasure them. Look at their good qualities. Be patient with his faults. Submit to him as unto the Lord and be there to help his support. God is ordained that we need power and that we are husbands of it. But when we do all these things, our marriage will be joyful and fulfilling. To be yielded to the Lord, not to ourselves, and God to our Lord. So let us try to be an excellent habit and cultivate these qualities that we fit the full position. Okay? Want to pray? Our loving Father, we thank you for the Bible. Okay, there's so much for you, Lord, really, by showing us ourselves that we are big vessels, sinful vessels, and yet God has called us as a vessel to save us, to be kind and gracious to us. Lord, we pray that each one of us here help us not to prepare our hearts. We may do our part to put this in us, whether now or in the future. Lord, we pray that help us to cultivate all these qualities. Help us that we learn, put ourselves down, because we want to obey Him, we want to do Thy will, and we want to do things as much as we want. So grant us love in our hearts, patience, submissive spirit, the markets and designers of houses. So what about the genie has strengthened us and grace to do the best of them in Jesus' name.